that you would illuminate our understanding of even just this glance at the import of these words, it is finished. And I pray as well, Lord, that you would grant my voice to be able to operate for this message. We pray all this, Lord, for your working in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's return to a question that we've addressed previously on Good Friday evenings, and is this: what's so good about Good Friday? And I think we've brought that up enough that even this past week or so, I've heard some of you bringing that very thing up. May I suggest that the answer is contained in three words uttered by Christ just moments before he died on the cross. This is the sixth saying of Jesus on the cross, John 19, verse 30, "It is finished." Three words in English, one word in Greek. Now, what you have to understand, when he said, "It is finished," these were not the words of somebody giving up. This was the announcement of the fulfillment of the most important mission ever undertaken in the history of the world. The bottom line of all of this is that we need a Savior. The entire story of human history, along with the headlines in the news each and every single day, has in reality been proclaiming this one single message. We need to be saved. We need to be delivered. We need a Savior. From recent headlines, the bombings in Brussels, the threats of ISIS, the threats of terrorism, to, if you can believe what I'm going to relate, this was in the news this morning, a kindergarten play in Southern California. It was just about to begin, and a fight broke out amongst the parents over the front row. They had to call in the sheriff, and they had to cancel the play over seating in the front of the school auditorium. We need a Savior. Those three simple words that Jesus utters here in verse 30 of John chapter 19, "It is finished," was an announcement of incredibly good news. The angels in heaven, even in the midst of their profound grief over all that Christ was suffering, amongst the angels in heaven, a great cheer must have rocked heaven itself when they heard those words, "It is finished." It was the announcement that Christ's mission of saving his people from all that ails them had now been accomplished. And this is what makes Good Friday good. So exactly what was this saving, this rescuing, this redeeming work that was now completed with Christ's death on the cross? Well, we're going to look at three aspects. There's many more to it, but three aspects. So first of all, the incredibly special, even totally unique life that Christ lived was now completed. In other words, the very life that Christ lived now saves us, frees us. How many things are there that you've done in your life that you regret? How many things have you done that were wrong, that were bad? And not just I'm talking about in the past, but I'm talking about even this last week, even today. Think of those parents who gathered there for that kindergarten play, which exploded into physical altercations. Do you really think that even a single one of those parents that got involved in that fight, that a single one of them even had an inkling that they were going to be involved in something like that, that they would lose their tempers in front of their children, no less? We have to understand that we sin because it's our very nature to do it. Let's be honest with ourselves then. We all do wrong. We all sin. And the truth of the matter is that God holds every single one of us accountable for what we do, for our sin. Not a single one of us can live life good enough to earn heaven, to merit heaven. In fact, God's standard was declared by Christ himself in the Sermon on the Mount. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's the standard. That's God's standard. That's the measuring rod by which he evaluates every single one of us in our lives. You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this then brings us to what's so good about Good Friday and Christ's announcement, it is finished. You see, Jesus Christ lived the perfect, flawless, sinless, totally and completely God-pleasing life, excuse me, which we are unable to live. Get this right. He lived the perfect life, which we are unable to live. To live a perfect, God-pleasing life for us was a key element of the mission for which he came down from heaven to accomplish. Several times, the Father announced regarding his Son, regarding Christ, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And for every single person who places their faith in Jesus Christ, God no longer views you through your performance, through your sin, which only brings his wrath and his judgment down upon us, but rather he views you through the perfect performance of his Son. So that's the first area in which Jesus said it is perfect. He lived the perfect God-pleasing life as our substitute. His perfect pleasing, God-pleasing life is credited to us when we put our faith in him. This then brings us to a second incredibly key aspect of Christ's words, it is finished. You see, because of our sin, it should have been us hanging on that cross. But in love, grace, mercy, Christ took our place and suffered so that we would not have to suffer. His suffering and death on the cross completely paid the penalty that all of our sins have accrued. This is, again, what makes Good Friday so good. He paid the penalty which we should have paid. And one of the sufferings which Christ completed on the cross was being forsaken by the Father. He was forsaken of the Father on the cross so that all who trust in him would never have to experience the hell of being forsaken by God. Again, Christ is our substitute. He was forsaken so we would never have to be forsaken. At noon, while Christ was there hanging on that cross, darkness descended on the scene, and God the Father laid on Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, the guilt of all of our sins. And then at the end of those three following dark hours, those grim hours, at 3 in the afternoon, Christ, the Passover Lamb, cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Think about what was taking place. Jesus is the Son of God the Father. All that Jesus had ever known from eternity past, from the before the creation of the universe, all he had never known was the Father's love, the Father's pleasure, intimacy was all he had ever known. But because Jesus freely took upon himself the guilt of all of our sins, the Father, who is holy and who cannot fellowship with sin, the Father withdrew. The Father, so to speak, abandoned his Son. It was a true, horrific nightmare in all of its agony. Now, don't miss this. The Father abandoned his Son so we would never have to be abandoned. Do you understand that? My God, why have you forsaken me? It's so that we would never have to utter that cry. He died on the cross as our substitute. He was forsaken so we would never have to know that hell of being forsaken. As 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For our sake, he," that's God the Father, "for our sake, he made him," God the Son, "who knew no sin, to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Douglas Kelly writes this regarding these words: above all, hell is God-forsakenness. Hell is being forsaken of God. Douglas Kelly then goes on to describe hell in this way: it is a final, irrevocable, and eternal separation of the body and soul of the unsaved from the triune God. It is eternity in the lake of fire, where the torments are appropriate to those who hated God and rejected his gospel. God pours out his wrath to an appropriate degree for all of our sins, is what Dr. Kelly is getting at. He continues, in the second death, the righteous wrath of God is poured out on those for whom it is proper. Jesus on the cross experienced the second death, indicated by the cry, my God, why have you forsaken me, before he experienced the first death. So Good Friday is such incredibly good news because Christ our Savior suffered the forsakenness and the agony of hell, being separated by from the Father, the Father forsaking him so that we would never have to endure it ourselves. And then finally, one more reason. There are more, but one more reason why Christ's words, his sixth saying, as we call it, it is finished, is such good news. Why Good Friday is such good news. Remember how we began. Not only our daily lives, but the entire history of the world is a tragic story of humanity's inability to break free from our sin. The whole story of history is the account of we just keep sinning, and then we do it again, and then we do it again, and we try and better ourselves, and we do it again. That's the history of the world. We just keep doing wrong over and over and over and over. In other words, to kind of go back to where we began, we need a Savior. We desperately need to be rescued from our relentless doing wrong, from our relentless sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 announces the good news of the very deliverance that we sinners so desperately need. There Paul writes, our old sinful self was crucified with Christ. Think about that. Our old sinful self was crucified with Christ in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. In a sense, Paul is saying so that the headlines could be rewritten. So they could be rewritten so that it's no longer a tale of mankind's sin against one another and against a holy God. Paul writes in verse 7, for the one who has died in Christ has been set free from sin. That's what we need. That's what we need. We need to be changed from the inside, not outward, striving to somehow deliver ourselves and be good. We need to be changed from the inside. And part of that involves we need to die to that old nature that just keeps sinning and sinning and sinning. And we need to rise with Christ to newness of life. For the one who has died in Christ has been set free from sin. So what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that because Jesus Christ died in full payment for our sin on the cross, all who embrace him by faith are delivered from that horrific slavery to sin. And we can begin to say no to sin. We begin a journey now of being able to live to God's glory, doing right things more and more. It is finished. Jesus' words on the cross, it is finished. Through Christ's God-pleasing life, all who trust in him are now pleasing in God's sight. If you're trusting in Christ because of the finished work of Christ on the cross and his perfect life, when God looks on you, he no longer frowns. You're no longer under his wrath. His smile is upon you. We're justified, to make it more technical. We're made right with God. Furthermore, on that cross, Jesus Christ completed his saving work, his work of saving us from the horrific penalty of God's wrath and from hell, that which our sin deserves. Through that work on the cross, he saved us from that eternal punishment of hell. But what is more, in his death, as well as his resurrection to new life, he also delivered us from our inability to stop sinning as well. And so this is just a glimpse at why Good Friday is so good. We need a Savior. And when Christ announced those beautiful words, "It is finished," he was declaring, "Mission accomplished. I have delivered my people." Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Let's pray. Lord God, as hard as it is to read the accounts of Christ's crucifixion, to read the suffering that he underwent, Lord God, at the same time we can find joy, hope, light at the end of the tunnel of our relentless sin. Oh Lord God, we pray that we may never take the saving work of Christ lightly, that we would always, for eternity, appreciate his mission, his work, what he endured, what he suffered, what he lived for our sake. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to that cross and suffering and being forsaken so that we would never have to endure the wrath of God, the punishment of God poured out upon us. Thank you that you were our substitute. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.